Welcome to another edition of So Loved, the radio ministry of Cummings Park Church in beautiful Menlo Park, California. Cummings Park is a word-based church that is family-oriented, God-loving, and people-loving. For more, visit their website at cummingsparkchurch.com. Now, with today's message, here is your teacher for So Loved, the senior pastor at Cummings Park Church, Memphis Lachesin.
Grace for grace. My goodness, favor on favor. Now, keep in mind, the grace that we have includes everything. That's what grace is. It is His unmerited favor, His unmerited blessing. Everything that you can ever think of, the whole package, salvation. Yeah. Salvation, that's what salvation is. I think many times we tend to think that salvation is just being saved from hell. Well, I got salvation. I no longer have to go to hell. But what people are ignorant of, most Christians are ignorant, that salvation does not just only include just hell. Salvation includes the healing. Salvation includes the deliverance. It includes no longer being broke, busted and disgusted, no longer living in poverty, no longer being sick. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says that all those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.
Amen.
And all you got to do is believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. You see that? That means you received it.
Yeah.
When you believe it and you confess it, you just received it. When you believe it and you confess it, you just receive it. And guess what you're doing? You're making your salvation. Or in other words, you're working your salvation out. You're working it out. You're not working for it. You already have it. You're just confessing it and receiving it and believing in your heart and therefore working your salvation out in your life. Amen. Praise God. I mean, this is stuff we got to understand, because if we don't understand it, we'll start operating in fear. As though I got to go get something. I got to go work hard for something. And see, that's where we're missing it. That's where a lot of Christians, a lot of people are missing it. They're working hard for their salvation. And the Bible says, I mean, when you begin to work for your salvation, it's going to be difficult for Him to release the grace in your life. In fact, the Bible goes as far as to say that you've fallen from grace. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you've sinned, but you're doing it all the wrong way. You have the wrong understanding about it.
Yeah.
And so God's trying to change our understanding today. He wants to give you a free gift today.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to receive the free gift. In fact, He's already given it. He wants you to receive the free gift today. In fact, the whole world, it has been given to. The free gift of grace, the free gift of going to heaven, the free gift of being healed, the free gift of having Christ in them has already been given to the whole world. But they just haven't received it. They haven't believed it and they haven't received it. Amen. If the whole world would just believe it and receive it, we'd have some heaven on earth. My goodness. I believe Jesus is just simply tarrying because He's waiting for some people to believe and receive. Amen. He's waiting for people to believe and receive. The Bible says that it's not His will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should get to a point to where they repent, they believe, and they receive. That's what He's waiting on. He's long-suffering, so He's given us time. I believe, man, if we would just, man, somehow just all believe and receive, the more people get to a point where we're believing and receiving, man, that's when Jesus will return. Now, He has a deadline, and He's going to come back at some point whether people are ready or not, but my goodness, if all people were to believe and receive today on earth, He would say, well, I don't have anything else I need to tarry for. Let me go on and come back right now. You see? But praise God, my goodness, He's already given us the free gift. And so I made up my mind that, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to feel like I need to work for anything anymore. I'm just going to believe and I receive. I'm just going to believe and I receive. And out of my love, that's what's going to produce the work. Amen. That's what's going to motivate me to do the work. Praise God. Now, let's keep reading. And for grace. Now, look at this. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, I want to stop right there for a minute and just kind of camp out right here. That's a big difference between Moses and Jesus. A big difference. He really is distinguishing between the two right here. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, when we study the law here is not referring to every single law. It's simply referring to the law that Moses gave, the 613 commandments, also through the 10, what I like to call the Big Ten. And so what that tells me is, look at this. In order to gain my salvation, I don't have to work hard to keep the 10. Does that make sense? Now, I keep the 10 out of love, right? But I am not keeping the 10 in order to be saved. Does that make sense? I'm not keeping the 10 in order to be saved. I'm already saved. I already have the grace. I already have the healing. I already have it. So therefore, I don't have to go out and do any work. But again, out of my love and out of my desire to want to please God and want to love him, I'm going to keep the 10. Amen. I'm going to keep the law in that sense. But what happens is I'm not working hard to keep the law. I'm not doing that. And so it says here, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, we're no longer under this law. In fact, you know, because we're not Jews in the sense of being born in the lineage of physically Abraham, we never had to keep the law in that sense. It wasn't something that the law was given to us. It was always given to the Jews. And so, but what we do keep is this law of grace, or this law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? I've heard people say, well, you know, because we're no longer under law, I don't have to keep any law. No, you do have to keep some laws. It'd be chaos if you didn't. I don't ever have to be on time. No, you got to be on time. I don't have to do nothing. No, we're not talking about a lawless society here. We're not talking about that. Order is of God. Amen. You have to have order and you have to have laws. But what we are not under, we are not under Moses's law. That's what we're not under, but we're under the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, the law of Moses, it fits under the law of sin and death. That's where you find it, the law of Moses. Now, it's good. The Bible says that the law of Moses is good. However, it doesn't have the ability to bring grace or goodness in your life. In fact, what it does, it reveals sin to us. That's what it does. So in other words, you know, if you're operating under the law of Moses, all you have is death. That's all you have, because it'll bring forth sin, and then the sin will bring forth the death. That's all you have. But when you get under the law of spirit of life in Christ, now you've received Christ and you have life. And so that will bring forth the life and the grace in our lives. And so he says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, what's truth? What's truth? Truth is the thing that's going to set you free, the Bible says in John chapter 8. And you shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall set you free. So guess what? The law of Moses kept us bound. It kept us bound. That's what the law of Moses did. But now grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The purpose of the law of Moses was to reveal sin to us. And in fact, it was to show us that we needed Jesus, that we couldn't do it on our own, that without him, we can't keep the laws of Moses. That's what it came to show us. It was, the Bible says, was our schoolmaster until Jesus would come. Amen. And so it trained us to let us know that we were sinners. That's what it did. It was telling you the whole long time, you know what? You just did that. So you know what? You broke that law. You're a sinner. And then the more you tried to keep that, then all of a sudden you would break another law. The law of Moses actually revealed sin, and it kept you sin conscious. That's what it did. It keeps you sin conscious. It keeps you thinking about sin. Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. And you're constantly always thinking about sin, and it's making you realize that you're a sinner, because it's like a whole lot of them and they're all hard to keep. You know, if you even just think about it, you know, And what we have to do, we have to really understand that we are no longer under the law, and we have to understand that we're under grace. And so when you're constantly thinking about don't do this and don't do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to do it because it's constantly on your mind. It's kind of like if I said to you, don't think about the big pink elephant. Don't think about the big pink elephant. What you going to do? You're going to be thinking about the big pink elephant the whole time. If I said, don't go into that cookie jar, I constantly tell my children, don't do this and don't do that. And guess what? Just by the very fact that I'm telling them to go make them want to do it. But if I just didn't say anything about it to them, they probably wouldn't do it. But it's the whole fact that it's forbidden and I'm telling them not to do it that's making them want to go do it. Amen. And so that's what the law does. The law is telling you don't do this and don't do that and you can't do that and thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that, right? And so it's keeping you sin conscious the whole time. It's bringing out of you that desire to want to do it that's inside your fleshly parts of you. And so we have to become more grace conscious and more righteous conscious. That, you know what? I am the righteousness of God. I'm already healed. I'm already delivered. I have everything I'll ever need already right now. And then you trust God about that. You know, now, are you seeing in your life? You may not be seeing it. But you know what? Guess what? We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, right? We walk by faith. And so whether I see it or not, guess what? I believe it. I believe it. And there's a blessing that simply comes with just believing, even though you don't see. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, he said, blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe. And doubting Thomas was one of those that said, you know what? I need to see it. I need to see it in order to believe it. Now, I don't see it in order to believe it. Believe it in order to see it. You see that? You see the difference there? Most people say, you know what? I need to see it in order to believe it. No, we want to be those that believe it in order to see it. See, the belief comes first, then the seeing in the kingdom of God. But in the world, the seeing has to come first and then the believing. But Jesus said, no, you're blessed when you believe it and then you'll see it. Amen. And that's what we want to be. We want to be those that believe it first and then see it. You already have it within you. You have everything that you need within you. Say it with me. Say this out loud with me. Say, I already have everything I need. Do you believe it? You got to believe it now. You got to believe it because out of that belief will come the faith that it takes to release what you want to see. See, it's only when you think that you're lacking something, when you begin to have a negative mind about it, a negative conscience about it. Most people are negative because they think they're lacking something. Does that make sense? Let me explain this in a little more detail. When you believe that you're missing something, that you don't have something, then you're going to react negatively. You're going to react negatively. You're going to start comparing yourself to other people who you think has it. You're going to think the grass is greener on the other side. Yeah. And then you're going to start trying to do stuff at the expense of others to get what you think you don't have. And so now it's going to cause all this negativity in your life. You're going to start worrying. Well, you know, I don't have this. And what am I going to do? And it's going to produce all these negative things in your life. But if you believe, you know what? I already have it. I don't need anything. I got God. And as long as I got God, he has given me everything. That's all I need. I already have Christ in me. And so therefore, I have everything. And now out of that is going to produce the faith that's going to allow God to speak to you and then bring what you can't see in your life. Amen? Amen. And that's how that works. That's how that works. I mean, we've had it wrong. I mean, we have to, as I said, we have to believe it first. You have to believe that you have it already in you and then you'll see it. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look what he says. He says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, he said he's given unto us all things that pertain to life. Now, does healing pertain to life? Does provision pertain to life? Does protection pertain to life? So guess what? You already have it. Because he said he's already given it to you. Now, how many of y'all believe that? I mean, really, believe that. Because sometimes it takes a minute for us to really believe that. I know for me, I'm still working on some stuff. There's some things like, Lord, I'm like that man. Lord, help thou my unbelief. I'm just being honest. There's some things, Lord, you know, I'm believing God for some stuff. And Lord, I'm like, Lord, me and my family, we believe in God for a house. And Lord, you trying to tell me I already have the house? Yes, that's what he's trying to tell me. I already have the house. But Lord, when I wake up, I don't see it. That's not what you're walking by. You're not walking by what you see. You got to believe it anyway. You already have it. You already have it. So what are those things that you're believing God for that you haven't seen yet? You got to know that you already have it. And see, that's the battle. See, the battle's in your mind. See, your mind's telling you, nope, you don't have it. I wake up and, you know, I'd like to have 3 bedrooms, but I only got 2. And so I walk in the house. I only see 2 bedrooms. I'd like to have 3 bathrooms, but I only got 2 bathrooms. I'd like to have a big, pretty backyard, but, you know, I got to listen to the neighbors right next door. But you know what? I just start believing and receiving that I already have it. Lord, I thank you that I already have the house. I'm waking up and every morning, Lord, I thank you that I already have the house. I thank you, Lord, for the big backyard, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I don't even have it. Well, I don't see it. Let me say that. I have it, but I don't see it. When you really receive it, you won't talk like that anymore. You'll catch yourself. You say, nah, I have it. I can't say that anymore. And then it'll naturally come out that way. I already have it. Well, I don't know about you. Speak for yourself. I have it. And see, that's the way you got to talk. Why? Because that's what he said. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, let's look at a few more scriptures here. Turn over with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see this in Ephesians chapter 1. And so I don't have to work hard for it. I don't have to slave. I don't have to put a lot of energy or effort into anything. But you know what? I just simply have to believe it and receive it. I have to believe it and receive it. And a part of believing it and receiving is confessing it on a daily basis. You got to confess it on a daily basis. And that's why I say you can't just allow stuff to be missing in your life that you don't see in your life and not open up your mouth and say something. You got to confess it with your mouth. Amen. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So this word hath is what? Past tense. There you go. Somebody in here knows their grammar. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So somebody said, Lord, I just wish you would bless me. Guess what he says? I already have. I already have. Lord, but what about my blessing? They're blessed, but Lord, you ain't blessing me. I've already blessed you. And see, by the very fact that you don't believe that, that's what's causing you not to see it in your life. That's what's causing you not to see it. But we have to begin to believe that, you know what, I already have it. And see, out of that positive belief, see, because that's what it is. It's a positive belief that's going to produce positive results in your life. Amen. So when you start thinking negatively, well, I'm missing this and I lack that and I'm whining about this and complaining about that because I don't have that. I don't have this. Well, now that negative belief is going to produce the negativity in your life. And so you have to believe, if you want to see this, you have to believe that he's already blessed you. OK. And so out of that belief of, you know what, he's already blessed me. Guess what that's going to cause you to do? That's going to cause you to just rest. Rest, as Hebrews chapter 4 says. See, because a wicked heart or an evil heart, the Bible calls that unbelief. A wicked or evil heart of unbelief. And see, this is, you know, what the children of Israel struggled with when Joshua sent them out to the promised land to check on everything and to see what was going on out there. And then they brought back an evil report. And then there was Joshua and Caleb. That's who it was. Joshua and Caleb. Moses sent them out. Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, believing that it was already theirs. God already gave it to us. We already have this land right now. See, now out of that belief that they already had the promised land, it had already been given to them, it was theirs. Guess what? We can take it. Even though they saw giants, even though they saw a whole lot of things that they, you know, in the natural, it was impossible for them to overcome. Guess what? They believed that they already had it. But yet the others, they were bringing about the bad report, saying, oh, you know, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. And, you know, we can't take it. What are we going to do? Complaining and this and that. And God caused Joshua and Caleb to actually go into the promised land and actually see it. See, they hadn't seen it yet, but they believed it was already theirs, that they already had it. But guess what? They were the only ones out of that whole group that actually saw it. Right? And it happened first. Why? Because they believed it first. They believed that they already had the promised land, and so therefore they saw it. And so bring that up in today's time. It's the same thing. You have to believe that you already have it in order to see it. Now, the ones that didn't believe they already had it, they died before they even saw the promised land, before the promised land actually was manifested to them. They died, so they never saw it, you see. And so it's all about what you believe and how this is a free gift. And when you believe that, you can just rest. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at this really quickly. Chapter 2. Stay in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start at verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now, this is how I'm reading this. I already have it, but he's going to show it. He hasn't shown it yet to me. I haven't seen it yet. Same thing, you know, I already have the healing. Achoo. I already have the healing. Achoo. I just haven't seen it yet. But he's going to show it. He's going to manifest it, you see, as long as I continue to believe that I already have it. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his what? His grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 8. For by grace are you what? Saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Look at verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, this is why he said he doesn't want you working for it. Because if you worked for it, you wouldn't be able to say he got it for you. You wouldn't need to depend on him for it. And in fact, you wouldn't even need him. And you'd be able to boast and say, you know what? I don't need God. I can do this on my own. And so that's why he set that whole system up that way, because God's not going to give the glory to you. He's going to receive the glory for himself. He's God and he's to be worshiped. Amen. And so he set the whole system up to where if you try to work for it for yourself, you're not going to see it the way he promised for you to see it. But if you believe and trust in him that you already have it and that he's already done it for you, now he'll give it to you and you'll see it and he'll get all the glory for it. Amen.
You've been listening to So Loved, the radio ministry of Cummings Park Church with Senior Pastor Memphis Lachesson. Cummings Park Church is located in Menlo Park, California, and their mission is a simple one: to demonstrate the unconditional love of God to every individual so that they may be convinced of the great love that God, through Jesus Christ, has for them. The church family meets together every Sunday and again on Wednesday. You're welcome to call for more information at 650-323-1577 or visit CummingsParkChurch.com. As a reminder, So Loved is supported financially by listeners like you. Donations to support this program can be sent to Cummings Park Church, 531 Pierce Road, Menlo Park, California, 94025. Yeah, he loves.